Well, good morning, church family. It's good to see all of you in the auditorium today. It's nice to know that there are worshipers in our fellowship hall. And welcome to all of you watching from home via the live stream. Let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of Proverbs together. Turn to the book of Proverbs. We've been working through the book of Proverbs on Sunday mornings for a number of months now. We completed the introductory chapters, that was chapters 1 through 9, and now we're in the main body of the book, which is chapters 10 through 31. And as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, in the main body of the book, I've decided that instead of trying to go sequentially through these chapters, instead I'm going topic by topic, drawing verses from the whole portion of the book, and then summarizing them for you in my messages. And so, thus far, we've looked at wisdom for the anxious, wisdom for the angry, and today we are looking at wisdom for children. Though I trust the words of these verses will apply to adult children as well as to those still under their parents' roof. Let me begin in a word of prayer, and then we'll consider the verses together. Lord, I do thank you so much for a wonderful Sunday morning that you've given to us. Lord, it's beautiful outside. The snow reminds us of your moral purity, reminds us of the perfect righteousness which we enjoy because of the righteousness of Christ imputed to our accounts. Lord, it reminds us of the glories of heaven to come where you dwell in unapproachable light. Lord, we thank you for the gift of your word, especially for the book of Proverbs. Lord, we thank you for the very practical wisdom that it offers to people in every sphere of life. Lord, every one of us here has been a child. Lord, we have all had parents. And Lord, our parents deserve certain things from us. So I pray that you would help us to understand this. From the book of Proverbs today. Lord, open our hearts to be receptive to the teachings of your word. Lord, give us the necessary grace to apply its teachings in our day-to-day living. And we pray all of these things in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. All right, so most of you are probably familiar with the Ten Commandments. They're also called the Decalogue. Even if you don't have the Ten Commandments memorized, you probably have a good sense of what they contain. Ten Commandments really form the moral foundation of the Scriptures. And embedded right in the middle of the Ten Commandments, at commandment number 5, we find this one. It says, honor your father and your mother. The word translated honor there comes from a Hebrew term meaning to be weighty or heavy. And so what the command to honor father and mother really means is that we are to recognize the weightiness of the office that our mom and dads hold, and that we ought to give them the respect that that office is due. Honor your father and your mother. But now this commandment is noteworthy for a couple of reasons. First, I think it's remarkable that it should be in the Decalogue to begin with. I mean, think about the other commandments that surround it. We have commandments like, you shall have no other gods before me. You shall make no graven images. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. Very serious instructions. But right in the dead center of all of them is this instruction for children to honor their parents. And I think this really speaks to the importance that God assigns to the family. In fact, the Bible teaches that the family was God's idea. It traces its origin all the way back to the Garden of Eden. The Bible tells us that God first created Adam from the dust of the ground. Then he created Eve out of the side of Adam. Then God brought Adam and Eve together as husband and wife. And then he blessed them and he said to them, be fruitful and multiply. That was the institution of the family. And God established the family for our good. Especially for the good of children. See, we humans are complex creatures. And for the first couple of decades of our lives, we really need that intensive guidance that parents give to us. In fact, in our earliest years, we need parents just to survive. Our parents are the ones that provide us with the food, clothing, and shelter necessary for us to live. But then as we grow older, we desperately need their wisdom and their guidance so that we can grow up and flourish as adults ourselves. God created the family to be a cause of flourishing for every member, but especially to be to the benefit of children. And so we see here in this fifth commandment the importance that God places on the family, on the role of parents, and on what children owe to their parents for the great good that they do. But then this commandment's also notable because it's the only one with a promise attached. The fifth commandment reads, "Honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land the Lord is giving to you." And in the New Testament scriptures, the Apostle Paul repeats that in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. There he says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor father and mother," which is the first commandment, "with a promise." And then he restates the promise, showing us it is still binding today. So this is a commandment which shows the importance God places on the family, and the respect that moms and dads are owed. But it's also interesting that it's the only commandment with a promise attached to it. And why did God do that for the fifth commandment? Well, I suspect that this was simply another expression of God's kindness toward children. Because you see, children are always asking the question, why? Right? You give them rules, first thing they want to know, why do I have to listen to that? Well, in the other nine commandments, when God speaks, he just says, do this, don't do that. But then when he directs himself to children, he says, children, you need to honor your parents. He answers the question, but why? He says, here's why. Because there is life if you will do this. While this is a very notable commandment, it's also very light on details, isn't it? God says to children, you need to honor your parents, but then he doesn't elaborate on all that that entails. So what does it really mean to honor your parents? How do you know when you have given them the respect they are owed? Well, friends, this is what the book of Proverbs is for. Proverbs takes that little command, honor your father and mother, and it elaborates on the command, showing us very specific ways in which it can be fulfilled. Proverbs also elaborates upon the promise, showing us what kind of life is being held out to us if we will honor mom and dad. So this is how I'm organizing my sermon this morning. It's coming in two parts. First, we're going to look at the commandment, honor your father and mother. We're going to look at all the verses in Proverbs that elaborate on the meaning of that commandment. Then the second part of my sermon looks at the promise that you will live long in the land or on the earth. And we'll look at all the verses that kind of flesh that out for us, show us what kind of life is being held out to us. All right, so that's where we're headed this morning. Let's begin with that first part. How do we practically honor father and mother? Well, here's the first thing the book of Proverbs tells us. Honoring our father and mother means that we listen to them when they speak. We listen to them when they speak. Now, some of us have a habit of not listening to our moms and dads. In fact, my mom tells the story that when we were little kids, she would talk to my sister, who was just a toddler at the time, and she would tell my sister things that she wanted her to do. And my sister would continue on with her activities like she couldn't hear a word of it. And this was happening with such frequency, my mom became really concerned about it. So she made an appointment with the doctor for some hearing tests. And the doctor ran the test and came back with his diagnosis. He said, Mrs. Crawford, your daughter has selective hearing. My mom went, oh no, what does that mean? The doctor means that The doctor said it means that she listens to you when she feels like it. Okay, she can hear you just fine. Well, we all struggle a bit with selective hearing when it comes to our parents. But the book of Proverbs tells us that honoring our parents begins with really listening to them when they speak to us. In fact, listen to all the appeals that we find in Proverbs. Proverbs 1 verse 8 says, "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." Proverbs 2:2, "Make your ear attentive to my wisdom." Proverbs 4:1, "Hear, O sons, a father's instruction, and be attentive." Proverbs 4:10, "Hear, my son." Proverbs 5:1, "My son, be attentive to my wisdom." All of these appeals from a father to his son saying, "Listen, son, this is how you will honor me. If you listen up when I'm speaking my wisdom to you." Then Proverbs 13, verse 1 says, "A wise son hears his father's instructions." So this is where honoring our parents begins. Begins by leaning in when they have something to say to us. So let me offer a few suggestions to you. If you've got earbuds in and your parents are calling for your attention, may I suggest taking the earbuds out, so that your parents know you're taking them seriously? Or are you reading a book when they call your name? Well, set the book down for a moment. Maybe you're watching television. Well, when they call your name, hit the mute button on the television so they know they've got your full attention. And put your phone down as well, because it's so easy for us to just be scrolling through the Instagram feed or looking at the Facebook updates, that we've got half our attention here, we've got half our attention on mom or dad, but that will not do. They deserve our full attention. So if our parents are in the room and they're trying to communicate something important to us, we put everything down, we lean into them, give them our full attention. If we're sharing a room with them, we make eye contact with them so they know that we're engaged. If necessary, we can nod our heads so they know that we're tracking with them as they speak. If we're speaking with our parents on the phone, we should give verbal indications that we're listening, just so they know we're taking them seriously. You see, really listening to our parents when they talk to us and giving them the external cues so they know we're listening by putting the distractions aside and locking eyes with them, that really shows them that we value their position as our mom and dad. It shows them that we recognize the weightiness of their office. See, you and I wouldn't dare have a flippant attitude if it was a police officer or a judge or a governor speaking to us. We wouldn't keep flipping through the feed on our phone if it was one of them. Why not? Well, because we understand they have an important office and they need to be listened to. Well, the same thing should be true in our relationship with mom and dad. Friends, there may be no greater title in the world than those titles. No more exalted position to hold than to be a mom or a dad. So let us give them our full attention. Well, then there's a second way that Proverbs tells us we can honor our parents. This is by not only listening to what they say, but also by valuing what they say. And now we're moving into a heart issue here. You can listen intently to someone without having any heart disposition toward them. But to really listen and then value their words, that means you get it. You understand how important being a parent is, and you understand that their words ought to carry weight with you. So you listen, and then you value what they say. Listen to these appeals in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 2:1 says, "Receive my words and treasure up my commandments." Proverbs 4:10 says, "Accept my words." Proverbs 4:20, "Incline your ear to my sayings." Proverbs 4:21, "Keep them within your heart." Proverbs 7:1, "Treasure up my commandments." You notice that common theme in all of these verses, that if you are fortunate enough to have parents who want to communicate to you the life lessons that they have learned, if they're willing to do that, then you should be receiving these lessons from them like they were handing you a purse full of gold. These are precious teachings that they're giving to you. So listen when they speak and value what they say. When they say, I've got something important to tell you, anticipate that you're going to get something truly wonderful from them. If they have words of advice for you, you should really value that advice. For example, maybe you're a teenager and your parents say to you, you know, I've had my eye on this guy in church, maybe this girl. I think you guys ought to get to know each other. Okay? You might be inclined to say, oh, Mom, Dad, not my love life, please. Right? Stay out of that. But you know what? Maybe you should listen to the suggestion, value the advice, and think, you know, you've clearly been thinking about this. Maybe I ought to consider that person. You know, many years ago now, when I came home from a semester of college, my mom said, Brandon, you know, a new girl has shown up at church since you were gone. Her name's Melanie. I think you should introduce yourself to her. Being the obedient son that I was, I said, okay, I'll try to make her feel welcome. And so I introduced myself and she introduced herself and we got to know each other. And 3 years later, we were married. So, teens, you never know when your parents might have a piece of advice that could really benefit your life. So listen to their suggestions, you know, even the ones that maybe you think might not be the greatest. Listen to their advice. But then also, if they have words of correction, you should heed those too. Our parents spend more time with us than just about anybody else. They know us better than anyone else. They've been with us since before we were born. If they notice a character flaw beginning to take root, like maybe they say, you know, son or daughter, I've noticed you've been getting a really short temper lately. You know, I think you really need to start addressing this. That's something to listen to. And not to get resentful about, but to value. I mean, these are your parents. They love you. They want what's best for you. They want you to become a godly and productive adult. And if they've noticed something that is hindering your progress in that direction, you should say thank you for the advice or for these corrective words. Now I think I've got something to work on. I need to deal with this anger or whatever the case might be. But you see, we honor our parents when we listen to them and when we value what they have to say. This doesn't mean that we're always going to follow to the letter every single piece of advice that they might give. I mean, there were other times when my mom said, Brandon, you should really get to know this person in church better. And I would say, no, I don't think that's going to be a good match. Okay. But there were other times when I said, you know, that might be a good idea. Okay. So value what they say. Really ponder it. Accept what they offer, including corrections. Well, now there's a third way that Proverbs says we can honor our parents. And that is by obeying their lawful instructions. Obeying their lawful instructions. And this applies to every child who still lives under his parents' roof. Listen to Proverbs chapter 6, verses 20 and 21. It says, keep your father's commandments. And Proverbs 7:1 says, keep my words. We ought to obey our parents when they give us rules. By the way, our obedience ought to be immediate. Don't make them have to repeat themselves or raise their voices or threaten punishments. Don't force them to bargain with you. Will you please do this? I'll give you candy. You know, don't make them do these kinds of things. They have something they need you to do or to stop doing. Just listen the first time and comply. and do so with a good attitude. And all of you know what I'm talking about here. Okay, it's possible to obey your parents immediately, but then to roll your eyes as you do so, or to let out the big sigh, and get up and follow their orders. You know what they call this in psychology? They call it being passive-aggressive. This is when you register your displeasure, but you do so in a way that avoids a direct confrontation. Okay? So you're letting your parents know, okay, you're the dad, I'm the daughter, I've got no choice, I'll do it, but I want you to know I don't like it, okay? And I'm never going to like it. So there go the eyes and the sighs. No, our parents deserve better than that from us. We should obey immediately with a good attitude and regardless of how we personally feel about their rules. Maybe they have a rule that you find objectionable, like lights out by 10 p.m. on a school night, or maybe no television at all on school nights, or maybe no dating until you're 30 years old. Okay, who knows what kinds of rules they might have for you. Just remember this guideline. Under their roof, under their authority. Under their roof, under their authority. The Puritan minister Thomas Watson said this, quote, "A child should be the parent's echo. When the parent speaks, the child should echo back obedience." Now, children, are there any limits to your parents' authority? Well, of course there are. Your parents are not God. They are servants of God. And God has set the boundaries of your parents' authority. So there's never a time when your parents can command you to do something which God forbids, or forbid you from doing something which God commands. Their authority is derivative, not absolute. And so there might be times, if you have very ungodly parents, where they are telling you that you must do something, and you must reply, "I don't want to disobey you, Mom or Dad, but I must obey God before you, and I cannot do this evil thing." There are times when that is appropriate. In those cases, you're not being rebellious towards your parents, you're being obedient to a higher authority, to God. But you know, I think most of the time we disobey our parents, not because they're asking us to do something God forbids, but because we're just annoyed with their rules. In those cases, we're the ones who need to change. Now, are there times when it's appropriate to make an appeal? Absolutely. Maybe your mom says, "Honey, I want you to set the table for dinner right now." Maybe you're in the middle of a really tough math problem. Well, you can appeal that rule. You can say, "Mom, can I just take a second to finish this math problem? I'm almost there." And maybe they will accept your appeal and say, "Okay, finish the math problem, then set the table." Or maybe your mom says, "All right, 9 o'clock, lights out." You might say, "You know, Mom, you set that rule when I was 10 years old. Now I'm 16. Do you think we could push back lights out a little further?" And maybe your mom will give some consideration to that and say, "You know, you're right. Let's make it 9:15 instead now." Okay. Something like that. It's okay for you to make an appeal when your parents tell you to do something and you find a compelling reason why maybe it should be delayed or modified or something like that. But you must always be prepared. As long as this is a lawful command, meaning they're not asking you to violate any of God's standards, you must be prepared for them to reject your appeal. And then we go back to the beginning again. Now you obey immediately with the right attitude, regardless of how you felt, for as long as you're under their roof. Now I understand how hard all of this is. I lived under my parents' roof for the first 19 years of my life. I understand that the older you get, the more you crave freedom. You can't wait until you get your driver's license. Then you can't wait till you've got your own car. And you just want to be your own person, live by your own rules, and get out there not being encumbered by anyone else. I understand that very strong impulse. And the only fights that I can remember between me and my parents were related to those kinds of issues. Freedom versus constraints. But it helps if you remember this. God has ordained for your good that the first 2 decades or so of your life are going to be under someone else's roof. And God did that because He loves you and He knows that it takes a long time for a human being to grow up into maturity. In those earliest years, you're not even able to feed yourself yet. You need your parents for that. You know, as you grow up, you learn to become a little more self-sufficient every day, but there's still the need for their moral guidance and spiritual instruction. And you need those years under your parents' roof to develop some good habits in your life, like becoming a regular attender of a local church and serving in that church and working out some of those character flaws as they begin to manifest themselves in older childhood and in those teen years. God gave you those parents with their rules because He loves you. So don't bristle under God's plan. Instead, learn to cherish the years that God has given you under your parents' roof. Learn to soak up everything that they have for you. You know, those years will go by so fast. Before you know it, you're going to be out of your parents' house and you're going to be on your own. Maybe you'll be a single adult living on your own, or maybe you'll have gotten married and you'll establish a family of your own. And you will look back and say, boy, where did those years go? They were so fast. And you'll look back and you'll think, you know, my parents really weren't that terrible after all. You know, maybe we had some arguments about how strict their rules were, but it really wasn't so bad. Look at all that I learned from them. You know, you're going to find yourself calling your parents once in a while because there are things that you still need from them that you didn't get when you were under their roof. You're signing, or you're preparing to sign the paperwork for your first mortgage. Oh, I better call mom and dad about this one, okay? Make sure you're getting this right, right? Or you have a problem with a coworker. You've never had these kinds of problems before, but you bet mom and dad have had them, so you call them for advice. You know, the time is going to continue to fly by, and one day both of your parents will be gone. You will probably be the one to bury them. And then you will not have their advice anymore. All you'll have left are the memories of what they gave you. So cherish the time that you have in your parents' home. Don't try to rush through it. Soak it all in. See it for your good. And when you do this, you honor the parents that God gave you. Well, now there's a fourth way that we can honor our parents, according to Proverbs, and that is by holding fast to the good. Holding fast to the good. Listen to these Proverbs. Proverbs 1:8, forsake not your mother's teaching. Proverbs 4:21, let them not escape from your sight. What that means is that you are listening to your parents, you are valuing what they say, you are obeying their lawful instructions, you're taking in all of their advice, and then as you leave their home and go and strike out on your own, now you are taking the best of everything they gave you, and you are internalizing it all, making it a part of your own life. Their best character qualities, the best advice, now it's part of you. I've mentioned before that my dad's greatest lesson to me was the importance of having a strong work ethic. I saw him work hard every day that I was in his home. He instilled that into me. It has served me well over the years. Perhaps the greatest lesson my mom gave me was the importance of the local church. She would not let me be absent from the church anytime its doors were open. I had to be there and I had to be engaged. I am now part of their living legacy. The best that they have is now in me. I hope to pass it on to my kids too. We honor our parents when we do this. When our parents can look at us and say, look at my kid. They have shed all of the bad parts of my parenting, but they've kept all the best parts. And now they're giving it to their kids. What a wonderful thing that is. My friends, in light of all that our parents have done for us, surely we can render these things to them. Whether you are a child or a teenager still under their roof, or whether you're an adult now, maybe you live a long way from your parents, surely you can still honor them by speaking to them regularly and listening when they speak, taking in all of their advice, living out the best of what they gave to you. In fact, the book of Proverbs also tells us that it's in our own best interest to honor our parents. This takes us to the second part of the sermon and the second part of the commandment. Remember, the commandment says, honor your father and mother that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. And then the Apostle Paul in Ephesians 6 says, honor your father and mother that it may go well with you and that you may live long on the earth. It's not just good in terms of being obedient to God to honor our parents, but it's good for us too to honor our parents. We will receive long life if we honor our parents. That's what the commandment reads, and that's what Proverbs says too. Proverbs 3, verse 2, length of days and years of life they will add to you. Proverbs 4:10, the years of your life will be many. Proverbs 4:23, the reproofs of discipline are the way of life. In Proverbs 7, verse 2, keep my commandments and live. Now, friends, I think God rewards those who are obedient to His word. When we take this commandment to honor our parents, and we understand all that that entails, that we must be grateful for our parents and thank God for bringing them into our lives, take everything that they would have for us and put it into practice in our lives, then God is pleased to bless us with more years. Are there exceptions to the rule? Of course. Of course. Sometimes God in His loving sovereignty decides to take a godly young person out of this world. But all things being equal, God rewards those who honor their parents with long life. There's also a common sense aspect to this. I mean, what kinds of teachings are godly parents giving you? Well, they're telling you avoid the wrong crowds, telling you stay away from harmful substances. They're saying use extra caution as you're starting to date and you're looking for your spouse. And they're telling you to invest your life in your local church. They're giving you all kinds of good commands. And you know, if you follow these kinds of instructions, you are naturally going to have a safer life. There's long life to be had by listening to the wisdom of godly parents. But then God tells us in Proverbs, it isn't just a longer life that you will enjoy, it's a better life too. Proverbs 1 verse 9 describes it as a life adorned with a graceful garland or a pendant. See, if you honor your parents and you take all of their wisdom and you live by it, you will no longer be the kind of person who is enslaved to the passions of the moment, making your decisions on whims and hurting your life in the process. Instead, you're going to be the kind of person who carefully contemplates the decisions that you make, is passing them through a godly grid. You have these guardrails up in your life, leading to better satisfaction, better outcomes for your life. A life that honors godly parents will be a life built on knowledge and insight. That's what Proverbs 4:2 says. I give you good precepts. 5:2, I give you discretion and knowledge. It'll be a life based on the fear of the Lord, as Proverbs 2:5 says. And it'll be a life with guardrails up to protect you from harmful people and actions. Proverbs 6:22 says, when you walk, they will lead you. They there being the teachings you have received from your parents. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. When you awake, they will talk with you. My friends, if these aren't incentives enough to honor our parents, how about this final incentive? It will bring joy to your mom and dad. Think every decent child wants their parents to be happy with them. Many of us crave the approving smiles of our moms and dads. Will you honor your parents in the ways prescribed here in Proverbs, and you will give that to them. You will give them joy. Proverbs 10:1 says, a wise son makes a glad father. Proverbs 23:15 and 16 say, my son, if your heart is wise, my heart too will be glad. My inmost being will exult when your lips speak what is right. Proverbs 23, verses 24 and 25 say, the father of the righteous will greatly rejoice. He who fathers a wise son will be glad in him. Then it includes this appeal. Let your father and mother be glad. Let her who bore you rejoice. Proverbs 27:11, be wise, my son, and make my heart glad. Children, do you understand the power that you have over your parents? I mean, you have the power to take them to the heights of joy or to bring them down to the very depths of despair. You have that power over your parents. And that power is exercised in the way that you relate to them. Whether you take the wisdom that they've given you and you put it into practice in your life and you go on to live a life that is godly and productive, or you take everything that they gave to you and you just dump it in the trash, forsake it all, and go and do your own thing to your utter destruction. You have the power to bring your parents joy or misery. Well, children, as an act of worship to God, will you not strive to make your parents glad? Will you not listen to them when they speak, value what they say, obey their lawful commands, and hold fast to the good as long as you live, that they might have joy for their decades of sacrificial service? Now, I didn't realize until I became a parent myself how much a mom or a dad will invest into the well-being of their kids. You give everything for your kids. The hours that you work, it's all funneling to your kids. Every dime that you make is going toward their well-being. Decisions that you make about your own schedule are determined by the scheduling needs of the kids. Parents hate to discipline their kids, but they do because they know their kids need it. They want their kids to grow up and to be godly. Everything in a parent's life is directed toward the well-being of their kids. Can you not honor them for their sacrifices? Can you not do this as an expression of your commitment to Christ? Especially if you call yourself a Christian, you bear the title of Christ. Consider how Christ related to His own Father during His earthly ministry. The Scriptures say in Philippians 2 that Christ was absolutely obedient to His Father right up to the point of death on a cross. No one has required anything more difficult than what the Son endured. But He did it with gladness because He knew it would please His Father. He was obedient right up to death on the cross. Our parents are not God, but surely our general attitude should be the same as Christ, that we should want to honor them at all times. And my friends, to conclude, the commandment reads this, honor your father and your mother. The promise is this, life will go well for you if you do. Proverbs has also shown us that life will be better for our parents if we will honor them. So friends, for the sake of obedience to God, and out of our desire to be like Christ, the one whose name we bear, let us follow these instructions. Let us honor our parents. And let's pray together now. Father, we thank You for these many passages from Proverbs which speak to the responsibilities of children toward their parents. And I pray that you would help us to internalize all of these instructions. Help us to be good children to our parents. Help us, Lord, to render to them the honor that they are owed, whether we're still under their roof or whether we are grown up, perhaps no longer subject to all of their rules, but still desiring to render them honor. Lord, would you help us to do this? Would you help our church to provide a shining example to the surrounding community of what healthy family life looks like, where mothers and fathers love and sacrifice for each other and for their kids, and where kids love and honor their parents in return. Lord, let us be a model that others can look to. And might you use our example to make the gospel more attractive to some, that they might come and believe. Lord, we pray all of these things in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.